we're gonna just reflect briefly on overflowing joy this morning. Joy is the theme for the morning, and joy is a common theme at Christmas. For some of us, it's why we look forward to this time of year. It just seems such a happy, cheery sort of time. We love that. But there's a pretty large number of people who don't feel that way at all, for whom the whole season is kind of a bummer, and the idea that they're supposed to have joy ends up feeling like, I don't know, feels like pressure. It can be frustrating because you know you're supposed to have joy, but somehow it's hard to manufacture that. So what do we do in that situation? Sometimes people just sort of isolate. They stay out of everybody's way. Other people pretend. They put on a smile. They try to be joyful, but it's difficult. And so this morning, we're going to reflect on overflowing joy. And I just want to make three quick points. So if you could advance that slide for me, please. Thank you. This was part of the text that Anna and Enoch read. And point one comes from here, that the joy of God is overflowing, and he rejoices over you. Earlier this fall, we meditated together on John chapter 15, where Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be made full. And it's important for us to know that God is joyful. We sang the song earlier, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And for years, I thought that song was describing me being joyful. I think grammatically that's possible, though I think you might say joyfully, joyfully we adore thee. A friend told me what's happening there is we are addressing God who is joyful. He is the joyful one, the source of joy. And when it says here, verse 17, that God will rejoice over you, that's not a lukewarm sort of expression. He will rejoice over you can be translated, as it was in the New Jerusalem Bible, he will dance with shouts of joy over you. Some of you know from, if you're like Bible scholar or whatever, that phrase with shouts of joy can be translated with singing, as it is in the NIV or the King James. And can you imagine God dancing and singing or shouting with joy over you, over us? Some of us have misshapen ideas about what God is like, and it keeps us from drawing near to him. We think of God as a very severe, mostly angry God who's just waiting around to nail us. And no wonder we don't want to get too close. But that's not how Jesus reveals God to us. It's not what the Father in the parable of the prodigal son is like. Some of you might know that story. This father has a son who petulantly demands his share of the inheritance. He takes it and he goes far from home and he blows the whole thing. And so he's coming back home with his tail between his legs and an apology on his lips. And when his father sees him far off, he goes running out to him and embraces him. And he gets the best robe for him and puts a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet before the son can even finish apologizing. The father has a feast prepared and throws a huge party. And that, Jesus says, is how God welcomes you and me. It's an important thing to know that God is joyful and that he rejoices over us, because how we think about someone ends up affecting the way that we relate to them. As long as we believe that God is mostly this angry, judgy guy, we're always going to shy away from him. We're always going to stay away from him. It's when we know that God is joyful at our return, that he is glad to see us, that he embraces us, that we can dare to come close. If we have the next slide. A second point I want to make is that we have good reasons for our joy to overflow as well. So God's joy is overflowing enough to end up in shouts of joy and dancing. We have good reason for our joy to overflow as well. Look at verse 15. The Lord has taken away his judgments against us, and he has cleared away our enemies, and he is in our midst as king. It says in verse 17, which is on the previous slide, he is in our midst as a victorious warrior. And then in verse 19, he will save the lame and gather the outcasts and transform our shame into praise and renown. In verse 20, it says that he will restore our fortunes before our very eyes. So we have good reason for our joy to overflow. It's not that our sadness isn't real, and it's not that we should just sort of ignore it or push it down or deny it in some way. Our struggles are real, but God is at work. We are not defined by our struggles. And so the third point I want to make on this same slide is that rejoicing is a command. You can see it there that he says, shout for joy, shout in triumph, rejoice and exult with all your heart. So rejoicing is a command, and therefore it's a choice that we can make. I note that historically when the prophet gave these words to the people of Israel, that some of the promises are to be fulfilled in the future. They don't have all of them now, and yet they and we are commanded to rejoice now. Like we saw in the video earlier, our joy is not rooted in our present circumstances, but in God's promises and in his faithfulness. And so our response ought not to be tentative. Our joy should overflow. It should be expressed vigorously, right? In shouts, in triumph, in exultation, in no longer being afraid. I can hear the sort of silent objections already. But that's not my personality. I don't like to call attention to myself. Our culture is more reserved. We had a bunch of people tell us stuff like that at the last church that I pastored in, which was a mostly professional, mostly college-educated, mostly Asian-American church. They were so reserved during worship that it was frustrating and a little bit disturbing. And their explanation was sort of believable. So Asian-American culture, and I am an Asian-American, can be reserved and understated, and they did seem unusually self-conscious until we watched a big football game together. How I wish I had had the wherewithal to videotape how they reacted as their team won that day. But it was something like this. So if we could have the video here. This is from another game that same year, the Iron Bowl between Carl Sorensen's Alabama Crimson Tide and the Auburn Tigers. These guys are huge rivals. Often the families like literally hate each other. The winner was going to go on to the college football playoff and have a chance to play for a national championship. And at the end of the game, there's like 1 second left, and Alabama, the team in red, has a chance to kick a field goal to win the game. If they don't make the field goal, then it's very likely the game's going to go to overtime. And so what we have here is video of Auburn fans as they watch what happens. The kick falls short, so it looks like it's going to overtime, but they have a guy back in the end zone who returns the kick for something like 99 yards for a touchdown to win the game. So this is how they reacted. That is what joy can be like. And so we're watching this football game, and this is with guys from this discipleship group that Michelle and I are part of, and they were just like that. I mean, fists in the air, high-fiving each other. One guy ended up on the floor with all four limbs in the air in triumph. These reserved Asian American guys. Because apparently, we can be expressive when we have a good enough reason. And I would just say, I'm a big sports fan. I'm like that too. But if they can have that kind of unbridled joy over a game, we can express our joy in God with some passion. On a Sunday morning or any time, we can. So I'd like to invite you to be prayed for this morning. If you're struggling with joy, if you've had a deformed view of God and his attitude toward you, if you want to choose joy in spite of your current difficult circumstances and trust God and his faithfulness, if you have something blocking your joy, unconfessed sin, unforgiveness, you know, broken relationship or bitterness, some assignment that you know that God has given you but you've tried to ignore, I invite you to come for prayer this morning during the last song, and a team member will minister to you. Thank you so much for being here this morning on this special morning to worship Jesus.